There's a halacha. In the beginning of the parasha, it talks about kohanim. And we know that kohanim are not allowed to marry divorcees, right? Torah says that a kohen isha zonava chalalo lo yikachu, the isha grusha me isha lo yikachu. A kohen may not marry a zona. A zona is a woman who had a forbidden relationship, either a relationship with a non-Jewish man, or a relationship that was a forbidden relationship that was either an Isser Kares or an Isser Lav, but this is not, there are a lot of details to this halacha. And then there's an Isha Grusha, man may not marry a divorcee. A Kohen may not marry a divorcee, but he may marry a widow. And this appears in chapter 21, if you're looking, in verse 7. The Torah says he may not marry a divorcee, but he may marry a widow. Then all of a sudden, when it comes to the Kohen Gadol, Torah adds on that he may not marry a widow. So what's the difference between the divorcee and the widow in terms of the Isser? Why is the Kohen prohibited to marry the divorcee and the Kohen Gadol prohibited to marry even the widow? So there is a striking comment that appears in the commentary known as the Dasa Kain in Balei Atosis, which means we're talking about a very weighty commentary. The classic, I would say the classic answer to the question for the difference between the two is that which appears in the Sefer HaChinuch. Sefer HaChinuch says that the reason why the Kohen may not marry, the Kohen may not marry the divorcee, is because a woman that's divorced, even if it was an amicable divorce, somebody yesterday told me that, this couple got divorced, but it's the friendliest divorce you can imagine. You know, they eat Shabbos meals together and it's, you know, they get along very well. And then I once remember hearing that somebody at a bar mitzvah, when the couple was divorced, the ex-husband got up and he said, I'd like to give a l'chaim to my ex-wife. She's the best ex-wife a person could ever ask for. Which is just such a loaded statement. I can't even begin to this way. So, what's that? Yeah. So, a divorce is obviously loaded with pain and bitterness. And a kohen has to be besimcha. And since a kohen has to be besimcha, so then what? So then he can't marry a divorced woman. And that is the idea for a kohen. What about a kohen gadol? You can have a beautiful marriage and then the wife passes away. Right? So why can't you get a beautiful marriage and the husband passes away? Right? So why can't the kohen gadol marry a widow? So the Sefer HaChinuch says, because at the end of the day, so it's, even if she had a beautiful marriage and she's not bitter, but there's a comparison going on. There's some level of, it's not tabula rasa. Chazal say, shtei deos bamita. That she's thinking, even in the most intimate spaces, she's thinking, she's comparing. There's something else going on here. It's a very, very profound idea. I read this story just recently. It's amazing. I don't remember which one of the Hasidic Rebbes was married for 50 years. And after Shiva, either after Shloshim, it's dramatic. I think it was after Shiva. He goes to his gabbai and he says, find me a shidduch. He says, Rabbi, 50 years you're married to this woman. So he says, it says in the Torah, lo tov hayos ha'adam levado. It's not good for men to be alone. I don't want to be lo tov. I don't want to be not good. So on the one hand, right, being married is a very beautiful and wonderful state with all of its challenges. And they tell me that there are some. But On the other hand, right, we know that second marriages are, even though they're very complicated, you know, there's complexity, even when it's not a divorce situation, a lot of complexity. So the Kohen Gadol, who represents that model spiritual persona, needs to be what? Needs to be a person that doesn't have that. Interesting, the Gemara says, if he marries as a Kohen, a widow, and then he receives an elevation to be the Kohen Gadol, he does not have to divorce his wife. In other words, she's grandmothered in, right? She gets in, right? She gets in. Once she got in as a widow, as a Kohen, right, then she could stay. But ab initio, we don't say that he should be in that situation. That is, I'd say, the classical explanation that's rooted in the Sefer HaChinuch. But the Das Kanim says an unbelievable thing here. I'm pretty sure it's here.
I thought he can't be a Kohen Gadol unless he's married.
He can't be a Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur unless he's married. He can be a Kohen Gadol while he's not married, but he cannot do the Avoda on Yom Kippurim. Hear what you said?
Isn't there only one Kohen Gadol?
Right, but let's say his wife passes away, Kohen Gadol's wife passes away 3 months before Yom Kippur. He doesn't become un-Kohen Gadol. He's still a Kohen Gadol, but he can't do his Avoda, the service on Yom Kippur, while he's single. So he has to marry somebody in order to do the Avoda on Yom Kippur. They get somebody else.
Somebody else
elevated Kohen Gadol. Right, correct. So, so the Das Kanim says as follows. I'm just. Correct. So, are you ready for this amazing idea? So he says that why does the Kohen Gadol, why can't, he has a different approach. He says, why is the Kohen Gadol not able to marry an Amana? He says, because I'm struggling to find it inside. So I'm just going to say it outside. So he says that, you see, the Kohen Gadol gets to go into the Holy of Holies. And he gets to daven. It's a very powerful makom to daven. So he says that, let's say the Kohen Gadol has his eyes on another woman and she's married. So the Kohen Gadol were worried, if he were to be allowed to marry a woman who is a widow, maybe the Kohen Gadol would go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies, and Yom Kippur, and he would daven to Hashem that that husband should die. That he should, you know, he's not such a great guy. She deserves better. You know, I'm sure he'll couch it in much nicer ways. You know, let him see his maker sooner, let he deserves to have that, whatever it is. So maybe the Kohen Gadol would be tempted to daven for the unfortunate demise of the husband. So, and then I'll get to marry her. So therefore, the Torah prohibits the Kohen Gadol from marrying a widow to curb his thinking in the Holy of Holies on Yom Kippurim. So I think the Baya Tosfos say this. So when you think about this idea, it's massive. What are we saying? We're saying that the Kohen Gadol, theoretically the model spiritual persona, on Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the year, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies, what might he be thinking? What he's going to be thinking? Well, he'll be thinking about, right, inappropriate things, right? Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berditchev once explained, it's interesting, striking, on Yom Kippur we read in the morning about the Kohen Gadol service on Yom Kippur. And then, in Mincha time, we read about the forbidden relationships. So Tosfos already asked the question, why are we reading about the forbidden relationships on Yom Kippur? That's the one day, you don't have to worry about it. So Tosfos gives two answers. One answer is that we're saying, God, just like you don't want us to expose their nakedness, you shouldn't expose our nakedness. That's a very interesting hashkafic idea, the Tosfos says. However, Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berditchev says there's a different vortir. Rav Rabbi Yitzchak of Berdichev says, the word is that a Jew can be in the morning in the Holy of Holies in the highest place, and on the same day in Yom Kippur, his mind can be going to the lowest Mekomos. A Jew must always be on guard. One of the great and sobering realities of humanity is the ability to occupy the most exalted spaces and the ability to occupy the most suboptimal, subprime spaces. And you can go from one place to the other very quickly. And we have to always be, we have to be honest and real with ourselves and recognize the challenge of the Yetzer Hara. And, you know, I speak to people who, we all struggle, but there's one particular person, you know, who shared with me their struggles about, on the one hand, right, being married, on the other hand, being attracted to somebody else, you know, and the person was very depressed. And I said to that person, no, the handmaiden of the Yetzer Hara is depression. When the Yetzer Hara wants you to be depressed, because then he has you where he wants you. No, the Ribbono Shel Olam, this is a challenge for you? Yeah, it's a challenge for you. In that makom of challenge is your greatness. In that makom of challenge is your ability to be exalted. On the one hand, never underestimate the Yetzer Hara. On the other hand, once you know its potency, right, once you understand its unbelievable strength and recognize that you can, as the Gemara says, Il Mole HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ozro, if not for the fact that Hashem would help us, none of us would ever be able to overcome it. So once we understand the challenge, recognize that our greatness is found dafka in the makom of challenge. So this is a very sobering assessment of the reality of the challenge of being a human being, with the high and the low. And Be'ezus Hashem, when we're real with our challenges and we recognize, you know, the extent of the power of the Yetzer Hara, so then with that proper wariness will come the proper Kedusha. We should have a wonderful Shabbos Kol Tov.